I want to share with you something that Elon Musk said. This has to do with, it's a great misconception that many people have, and that is, the misconception is, that there are too many people on this planet. The population time bomb, it's sometimes called. It's just simply not true. If anything, we don't have enough people on the planet. And you may say, what are you talking about? There are like, a billion people in some countries. China has what, a 1.5 billion, 1.4 billion people. India is approximately the same. What do you mean we don't have enough people? Well, listen to what Elon Musk, the founder of The Boring Company and SpaceX and Tesla, he's a serious guy. He thinks about these kinds of things. He understands where the demographics are leading, and he has a different perspective. You've heard me talk about this many times on the program. But listen to what Tesla's Elon Musk has to say about population and the real problem that we're facing in this world. Listen.
I'm worried about the birth rate, which you alluded to earlier. The contrary to, like, most people think we have like too many people on the planet, but actually this is an outdated view. This is the assuming that AI is fine, assuming that AI is there's a benevolent future with AI. I think that the biggest problem the world will face in 20 years is population collapse.
I agree.
Collapse. I want to emphasize this. The biggest issue in 20 years will be population collapse. Not explosion, collapse. It's very easy to see what the world will look like in 20 years because humans have a 20-year boot sequence. So, like you say, okay, well, who was born last year? Okay, now you know what the world looked like in 20 years. It's that easy.
I absolutely agree with that. The
This is Jack
population
Ma.
problem is going to be facing huge challenge. 1.4 billion people in China sounds a lot, but I think next 20 years we'll see this thing will bring big trouble to China, and the population decreasing of the whole, the speed of population decreasing is going to speed up.
Yeah.
And you call it collapse. I agree with that.
Accelerating collapse.
Accelerate collapse.
Accelerating collapse. And then the common rebuttal is like, well, what about immigration? Like, from where?
Yeah, from where? Well, right now, immigration comes from countries where they are not experiencing a population collapse. Some countries are experiencing that already. Russia, for example, Japan notoriously is experiencing this population collapse. And other countries eventually will feel this. All countries will eventually feel it. But right now, there are countries that are currently in free fall. And this goes against the popular wisdom, and I'll put the word wisdom in quotation marks. You know where this really became popularized? It was in the 1960s, and it was a book that was written by a guy by the name of Paul Ehrlich. Does that name ring any bells? The book was called The Population Bomb: Population Control or Race to Oblivion. And the subtitle says, while you are reading these words, four people will have died from starvation, most of them children. There were children, to be sure, who died of starvation. But his thesis that there are too many people on this planet, and that in due time, and he was making very alarming predictions that within a matter of decades that the Earth was going to experience severe famines and hundreds of millions of people were going to die. This is the opening line of the book. The battle to feed all humanity is over. In the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death. He wrote this in 68. So he says in the 1970s. Do you remember, if you're from the 70s like I am, do you remember hundreds of millions of people starving to death in Europe and the United States and other places? No, because it didn't happen. He says the battle to feed all humanity is over. In the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people will starve to death in spite of any crash programs embarked upon now. At this late date, nothing can prevent a substantial increase in the world death rate. And so he spends the balance of the book promoting contraception, promoting abortion, talking about how people should have a right to limit their families in those ways in particular because there are just too many people. And every single thing he said is wrong. The guy actually is a professor at Stanford University. Largely, it seems to me anyway, on the basis of the predictions he made on this in this book, The Population Bomb, and it has none of it has panned out. It's all not true. And you heard Elon Musk talking about it. Now, just because Elon Musk said it doesn't mean it's true necessarily because he said it. The other guy that you heard speaking in the audio was Jack Ma, the famous multi-billionaire from China. And he's saying the same thing. And this is something that others have been talking about for a long time. I remember I started giving talks at conferences and parishes and places where I went to speak 15 plus years ago, probably closer to 20 years ago, if I had to really get precise. And I was talking then about something that nobody seemed to be talking about, which was global aging. And the term global aging is one facet of the problem that Jack Ma and Elon Musk were referring to, and they talk about a population collapse. Here's the part that fits with the older people. It's called global aging. What that means is, largely because we live in a world that is more or less free from killer diseases, we've been able to manage those. We have vaccines, we have medical procedures, medicines, ways of overcoming those problems, as well as largely we don't have any world wars going on right now, and the workplaces are safer, and we have good food, and we have, you know, relative security when it comes to things that help us live longer. That translates into people are living longer. It wasn't at all uncommon. In fact, I remember any number of times hearing about, like in the 1960s and 70s, even into the 80s, you hear about guys who would die at 65, 64, 66. Nobody blinked an eye. It was not uncommon for people to die of heart attacks and strokes and things at what today would be a shockingly young age. If somebody keels over at 65, that's like, wow, so young. Back then, not so much. A lot of people would die from things that today we have the ability to manage and to save people from dying from. So the point about global aging is, generally, in first world populations, the number of older people is getting bigger and bigger. The group of older people in a population in these countries, like the United States, Japan, and other countries, the number is getting larger. And then you have another component to the issue, and that is because of things like abortion and contraception. It's hard to really calculate on the basis of contraception what could have been, but fewer and fewer people are being born by comparison to the number of people that are growing older and living longer. Then you have a third component, and that is the economics of it. An economy, any economy, it's an engine that has to be driven by workers who are in the workforce, who are putting in the hours, they're manufacturing, they're creating, they're running the businesses, they're paying taxes, and that's the engine, or that's the fuel that drives this engine of an economy. And in a country where it works, like in France, Germany, England, United States, Japan, it's because you have enough people who are there paying into the system to drive the engine and, of course, pay the taxes, which are necessary in order to do things like, you know, take care of older people who are not any longer in the system, who are not paying taxes, at least not the way that they were when they were younger, raising kids and working their careers. But they still need food and medicine and medical procedures and shelter, and they need all those things that our social contract says that they get, that we all get. The government has said, we have a social contract with you, and we promise you that we will do certain things for you. We have a safety net for you. Social Security, subsidized medical care, food pantries, WIC programs. You know what I'm saying? All those things as part of the social contract. So we have the global aging issue, and I'm happy to be alive during the time when people are living longer. I like that idea. I want in on that. I like the idea of the state of the art of medicine helping people prolong their lives in a good way, in a healthy and happy way. So that's a good thing. The not good thing, of course, is there are fewer and fewer people coming along to replace those who age out and retire and work the system, pay the taxes, et cetera, because after all, that's necessary to support the social contract, to support Social Security, and to support these other things. So that's not a good thing, because fewer and fewer people proportionately are being born. And then you have the economic question: what happens when you get to a point where, like they're beginning to see in Japan now, where you've got this very large, proportionate to the whole, a very large number of older people who still need things that cost money, and you don't have quite enough people who are younger to keep that propped up. What do you do when it gets to the point where it's no longer affordable? Well, there are a few things you can do. You can revise the social contract. You can say, you know, all that stuff that we said that you would get for free because you were working and you paid your taxes and stuff, and we promised you Social Security and we promised you all these other things. Well, that's not going to happen because we can't afford it any longer. That's one thing that very likely will happen. Another possibility will be helping people exit stage left or stage right, if you prefer. You may say, what does that mean? Well, euthanasia right now is something that is celebrated. It used to be looked upon with great fear and a great deal of disapproval in American society. The whole idea of suicide was very repulsive. Now, not so much. Now, it's becoming more and more seen by many in our society as a kind of noble way to end your life. Look at that guy up in the Archdiocese of Seattle, Fuller, I guess is his name, Bob Fuller, I think his name was. We talked about him last week. He had AIDS, HIV, a very promiscuous homosexual, led a very, very immoral life by his own admission. He talked about it. And he's wasting away, and he decides that he doesn't want to last any longer. So they throw a big celebration for him because he was going to end his life on a particular day. He was going to ingest the medicines that would put him to sleep and then stop his heart. And they also, I think, put Kahlua in there because that was his favorite liqueur. And the people at his parish celebrated him. They threw him a big party. So my point is now, the whole idea of suicide is no longer distasteful and repulsive, as long as it's done correctly. I mean, if you're Robin Williams and you commit suicide, everybody's horrified, although it's the same net result, isn't it? If you are somebody like Bob Fuller, Robert Fuller, the man I just mentioned a moment ago, you'll be celebrated with parties and accolades and memorials and people talking about how noble it is. So my point is that whereas before, suicide was always regarded with you know, dislike generally in this population, now people's attitudes towards euthanasia, toward suicide are becoming, they're changing, and people are looking at this as something pretty good, actually, in some cases anyway. So my point here is that this is going to evolve further, I predict anyway, it's going to evolve further in the direction of not just mere approval or mere appreciation on the part of people who want to throw you a party before you croak yourself, but it could get to the point, and may well get to the point, where the government may say, you know what, this is it. You had a good run. You lived a long life. You need to move aside and make room for these younger people. And what will happen then, possibly, is that there will be incentives, maybe financial emoluments given to your family, tax breaks, other things that may be done, because you don't want to be a burden after all. You don't want to be lingering and costing your family lots of money when really they deserve to have a chance at life, just like you did, because you lived a long life. So why don't you make room for them? There will be messages like that. And if this does come to pass, then the whole idea of forced euthanasia may very well be on the horizon. That's why what Elon Musk and Jack Ma are saying is so critical, because it's not merely like, oh, gee, we don't have enough people to pick lettuce and you know, make tacos and automobiles, and that will be part of the problem. But as you notice, they were saying that artificial intelligence is going to step in and help with that. And I fully expect we're going to see that, where due to a lack of population in some sectors, that artificial intelligence will more than make up for the lack of human beings, because the robots can do things faster and quicker. They don't need time off. They don't take sick days. They don't get pregnant. They can work forever. And that's going to have an effect on things. But eventually, because robots don't pay taxes, at least not yet anyway, eventually the population implosion, not explosion, but implosion, is going to catch up with all of us. Global aging is going to catch up with all of us. And there may, in fact, be things like forced euthanasia that will be seen as a remedy for things like that. We just have to, you know, we have to make it so that there are fewer older people because there aren't enough younger people. Last thing, there are countries right now that will, because of the government programs, they will pay you to have children. So if you're a married couple, they'll pay you. In Russia, I think it was something like, you know, $8,000 or $10,000, translated from rubles, last I looked, that the government would pay a married couple to have another child. Hey, please have another child. We will pay you cash money if you do that. Countries in Scandinavia have been experimenting with this. Please have some children. I've spent time in Japan. I've gone to Japan any number of times. I really love going to Japan. It's a wonderful country. You don't see any kids anywhere. You walk down the streets of Tokyo or any other big city or any small town, you don't see a lot of kids. You don't see like mom and dad pushing strollers with a toddler. You just don't see much of that. You do see kids here and there, but not many of them. So if Japan can be seen as a kind of case study, keep your eye on what's happening there, and that will be a good bellwether for what will be happening soon enough in other countries. If you're interested in a book, I'll recommend a book to you. And by the way, I don't recommend The Population Bomb, unless you just want to read it for laughs, Paul Ehrlich's book. That's the book that came out in 1968 that had everybody in a panic that there were too many people. I would prefer that you read instead a book by Peter G. Peterson. The book is called Gray Dawn. You can still get it on Amazon. In fact, I think it went out of print for a while, but I kept promoting this book in my talks and on radio appearances and things. I wonder if maybe they restarted the engine on that book and brought it back into print because some guy out there is telling everybody to read this book. Peter G. Peterson was in the government. He might have been like the Treasury Secretary under President Bill Clinton, or he was an economic advisor in one of the administrations. So I don't know if he has any religious feelings at all. I don't know, but he wrote this book, Gray Dawn, as a financial look at this issue, and he graphs it all out. He wrote the book about 20 years ago. He graphs it all out. He gives you statistics, birth rate statistics and death rate statistics and all the things that actuaries and, you know, the people who analyze demographics, all those things. It's a very readable book, by the way. It's not going to put you to sleep. But his point is, all right, how do we make some money off this? Is it possible to make money off this? What do we, you know, how do we prepare for this? So it's a financial overview of what he predicted over 20 years ago, and it's coming true. And Elon Musk, who was a kid when that book first came out, is now astride some of the biggest companies in the country, and he's saying the same thing. He said, watch out, we have a population implosion looming, and other people are now beginning to wake up to this, and I wanted you to know about it.